the Fan Morning Show. Sports at 590, The Fan. Blake Murphy, JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar going to HR.
Guys, I got a concussion. Leave me alone.
What's more disappointing, the Raptors' loss or your best friend Tim Bontemps being late for his hit?
Timmy!
I don't know. Maybe he's late because he's getting me breakfast, getting me a coffee. I don't know.
Yeah, you guys meeting up or what?
I don't know.
He's showing up here. He's actually coming in studio.
Yeah, didn't get to see him. He's big time. He's ESPN, so he sits in a different spot for playoff games than the little people, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a tough look for you, but it's okay.
It's all right. A tough look for me. I'm not the one who's late.
I mean, it's but kind of, though. I told you the game from university when you're somebody, that's your responsibility, right? You're Tim Bontemps. So he's like, he doesn't show and you didn't show. You know what I mean? Like, I'll take. Like,
if that means I could take the segment off until Tim gets here?
No, that's the opposite, in fact. You got to fill. The two of us are just going to go. Actually, you want to interview me like I'm Tim? What was the first question you had for Tim? Just ask me, seriously.
How are you, pal?
I'm well, thank you. It's nice to see you.
I thought you were going to do a Tim Bontemps voice. Yeah. Do your GSP. We're going to bring in Tim Bontemps after.
No,
but
Tim Bontemps would be more like, I think that the movie Saving Silverman?
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm a mime. That's the kind of voice that I would be doing. It's the hard on baton.
Your references are out of control.
I know they're
Everybody
really out of
says
control.
That.
You know what? The worst part is that all my references now are so dated that there are so many. If you're under 30.
Yeah, that's why I don't get a single thing you say.
Yeah, that. Well, you also watch the same show every day of your life.
Hey, no, I started
you only
a new
watch
one.
The Office, and you also, the age difference here is important, not for the movies necessarily, but because the existence of memes is a different way to consume. Where
your whole brain is just memes, Ailish.
When JD and I were in high school, all you did with your friends was say out of context movie quotes.
Actually, that makes sense.
Yeah, yep, it's true. Movie quotes dead for two reasons. One is that all they do is make the same superhero movie just with different superheroes now.
Yeah, and increasingly bad CGI. I don't know how we're going backwards with CGI now.
Although I did watch the Batman.
Me too.
On the weekend. And
not on the weekend.
I would say B, solid B.
Oh, I would go higher than that.
Really?
Really?
Come on,
because you're so emo.
The only superhero that I care for, and they were like,
he's
"What if we?
Super depressing.
What if he's listening to The Cure lot?
And he's got dark eyeliner
of course,
on.
Blake loved it. Blake's like, I want to be that guy.
Blake's just wearing his dark eyeliner.
I'm just saying, if you guys, our version of the bat signal, if you guys put in the text,
I thought it was more than a B.
Yeah, I would say A minus.
Whoa.
Yeah.
A minus.
You can be in the middle on a B plus, maybe. Yes.
Yeah, A minus. Too high.
Hey, I'm marking here.
Yeah, but hold on. Can I just ask one thing of my Batmans? Can they be more than 5'8", and can they at least have some muscles? Like, can I have at least a little bit of muscles? I have bigger shoulders than the Batman. I can't really get behind Robert Pattinson walking around the city just whooping people's asses. And then he takes off the tarp, and I'm like, hit the gym, buddy. What's your max bench? 100?
But do you not think that it's... No. I know historically Batman has been a
He's
Christian
Robin.
Bale-ish.
No, this guy's Robin.
But the character who is just like a super rich guy who uses a bunch of technology to fight crime.
Beats the crap out of people.
Well, yeah, if you go to the Ra's al Ghul version of the...
In the movie,
Catwoman, though.
So hot.
Yeah.
So hot.
That's why it wasn't a
B
minus.
She is,
although Batman, no kills.
League.
Another is, he's like,
he got a couple of kisses.
Blake's like, I love this guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't, he's got no shoulders. He's 5'6", and he doesn't crush.
Did you guys think when Batman says, I won't kill, you thought that was just about bad guys? No, that's in all forms. He just, he won't get anything done. So, the thing I appreciate about it is, if you guys put in the chat, hey, Blake, we need you to look up this stat or whatever, the first thing I do is go and put on a bunch of eyeshadow and then get you guys the stat. Nice. And I appreciated that Batman did the same. Put a bunch of eyeshadow on, then go fight crime.
So, no muscles on the Batman, no closing for the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, no Tim Bontemps on the segment, no closing for the Toronto Raptors.
Down 3-0 in the series. I'm sure there are some people that are still optimistic. It's really hard to imagine that they're going to be able to come back in this one, given the nature of the things that we set out at the top, which is that the Raptors got an incredibly friendly whistle. I'm not saying that to be they got the referees on their side. I'm saying that in the sense of that's the kind of game that
You got to win that one.
Well, no, but you want from the officials in that they swallow it, right? You want it to be the more physical game. You want to be able to hit Embiid. I thought the Raptors were like really nailing Embiid. If that game was...
They did a great job making it difficult for him to catch it, difficult for him to get those seals deep in the paint. I talked about leading into it, like, how many easy transition buckets had Embiid gotten because he's beating them down the floor and getting position? There was very little of that. Precious Achiuwa and Ken Birch earlier and then Precious Achiuwa later, I thought, did a great job of... You know, hey, if Embiid's going to get post position against you, you at least have to make him repost, right? Like, there were a lot of times that he didn't have good position. They posted him up and he kicked it back out. And then he, you know, then he had to body his way down. But it's Joel Embiid. You're not going to hold up for 24 seconds.
No.
And they let them go with some of that. I thought, like we talked about, Harden's sixth foul was a bit of an iffy one. If the Doc Rivers timeout call is the thing that you're complaining about from the referees, you have skipped past 53 minutes of basketball calls. So I think you're in pretty good shape. And again, not friendly in the sense that it favored the Raptors, but dictating the terms and how you want to play, that was the type of game the Raptors need to win.
Yeah, they get those contributions. I will admit that there is this slight bit of optimism for me. Like, I'm pretty crushed that the Raptors are out of the series. Again, I feel for the fan base. I feel for everyone on that team that was so close to getting that W last night. But this is a little different from years past, where I do look at the roster and say, OG has proven that if he can stay healthy and he can be on the floor in a playoff series, you're going to get OG. That Precious Achiuwa, a trade that early on in the year for Kyle Lowry looked like an abject disaster. I guess it still is, if it's true that Tyrese Maxey at one point was on the table for Kyle Lowry, which has been disputed and up and down. But either way, that didn't happen. So you get Precious Achiuwa, who looked very comfortable in playoff series, was not afraid whatsoever. And yeah, Gary Trent Jr. bounced back, showed a lot of toughness, but also Scotty Barnes early in the series looked great and looked completely unafraid. All those guys being 24 and under and knowing that they will fit into a playoff series is not as... It doesn't feel as bad or as crushing as, say, Raptors vintages, where you felt the losses of Kyle and DeMar and went, well, what do you do now? Like, we're doing takes about Norm Powell in the offseason. Norm Powell's a good player, but he was never with a ceiling of, I'd say, three of the guys that I mentioned.
Yeah, it's just not there.
Yeah.
And I'm got the text line open. Keep them coming at 590-590 if you want.
Take a look at those.
Yeah, it was...
Are you replying in anger to someone that
said something
is...
about Blake's take of A-minus and he's agreeing.
No, I'm not.
He's like, yes, no. A-minus.
No,
like,
Tosh from
Blake's,
Burlington.
Blake's like, let's do a sideshow now on the takes of Batman.
No.
With the texters.
There was someone who didn't sign their text, and maybe it's someone I know. I don't recognize the number, but they said, last night Siakam was looking like Blake trying to play ball at his local YMCA, and I said, I was just responding, buddy, I break your ankles.
You can't go through the text line, Blake.
I was trying to get text for the show because Tim bailed on us.
Don't you worry.
I think that...
I don't know. I can't see what you're doing over there.
I think that the big question is still circulating. How much do you take out of this for Siakam and Fred? Because to me, it's monumental. To me, it's like, it's a true colors game for both those guys. One, in that Fred, I don't think it's an afraid of the moment thing. I think it's a physical and...
Yeah, but that's not new to me. Like, I didn't think Fred would be able to dominate this series and drop 30 a game.
But there's a difference between domination and playing well, even. And even if you think that Fred was tired or Fred was dinged up or whatever, I think that that also speaks to having a 6-foot point guard who has to run your team.
Yeah, we knew those limitations before, whereas Siakam had a season where it's like, oh, maybe he's grown past those limitations. Fred VanVleet's not literally growing.
Yeah, so I think that with Barnes, they have a physical monster who is going to be able to bully his way to the basket, right? Like, I've talked a lot today about pressure on the rim. How do you get pressure on the rim? Because you need pressure on the rim. It's the key to playoff basketball. Scotty Barnes will do that through brute force. He will do that when he returns. We saw it even in game one, right? He can get to those spots. He can do that little floater game. He's got that inside game 12 feet-ish where you feel a decent degree of confidence that when he gets to those areas, he's going to be able to do something. Scottie Barnes is a guy that's going to draw a lot of fouls in the playoffs as well. Like, I'm guessing that when he is the 1A player, he's not going to have zero free throw attempts like Pascal Siakam did. Zero free throw attempts like Pascal Siakam had. I'm looking at Barnes. That's one way they're going to get rim pressure up. But if there's one way that or one thing that I'm identifying with this Raptors roster after this series, they need somebody with explosiveness on the roster. They need a guy who can get to the basket and who puts pressure on defenses. They need someone who has burst. You're not going to get someone like Tyrese Maxey, who, again, might be an Olympian if he wasn't for playing for the 76ers, but you got to get somebody like that. And how they address that is going to be interesting this offseason.
And it's not new.
No.
I remember back, and I know we soured on him, and he hasn't for on and off court reasons, and he hasn't had the best go of it in Sacramento. But one of the reasons you kept giving Terrence Davis chances in the rotation was he was the one guy on the roster as a supplementary piece who could, whether you want to call it putting pressure on the rim or just event creation, right? Like, you make the Raptors have a lot of guys who can take an existing advantage and make something of it, but they don't have a lot of guys who, outside of transition, can create that first advantage.
That's a great way of putting it.
You need event creators, and this is the type of thing where, that's tough to find in the second round. That's tough to find with the mid-level exception. There aren't a lot of those guys around, and if they are, they're usually, Maxey was a later pick, but most people were sitting there on draft night being like, you guys are, you're all really going to let him slide to Philadelphia? And Philadelphia has actually really prioritized that. A lot of the draft flyers they've taken, they've got Jaden Springer down in their G League system. It's the same kind of thing. It's like, hey, if we're going to have secondary pieces around a Joel Embiid or a Ben Simmons or a James Harden, they've got to be able to attack, because that's the skill set that complements these guys. And obviously shooting's important for anyone, but that's true for 30 teams and 30 team universal dynamics.
And honestly, now everybody shoots. You even see Kem Birch when he's wide open from three, you cringe when he does it, but he still is a guy that if his feet are set and he's in a corner and he's wide open, he's got the green light to shoot a three. There are very few players in the NBA now that can't shoot at all.
So this is where Scottie Barnes's style and physicality is encouraging. He had 9 free throw attempts in that opening game. This is a low bar, but keep in mind that he had a low usage rate, and rookies take time to understand the physicality and the, hey, invite contact but protect the ball and get the whistle from the referees. He was almost top 100 in free throw rate this year, which is not amazing, but it's not nothing. It's an ability to get to the free throw line, pretty much right out of the gate. He took a lot of free throws this year by the standards of a rookie who doesn't have the ball a lot. So I think that is going to scale. I think that's something that is going to be a skill of his, because whether it's the face-up game or post-ups or just like, I don't think those like chaos buckets are going to go anywhere for Scottie Barnes. He gets a lot of fouls on those as well. But you can't have only one guy who can really get to the free throw line.
Exactly.
And the Raptors have been, post Kawhi, a low free throw team. And Kawhi did a great job getting the line. DeMar before that was elite at getting to the free throw line. You got to get that somewhere. And I don't even mean it needs to be free throws necessarily, but I do think free throws are a good proxy for how much pressure you put on a defense and how uncomfortable you make them.
Of course they are. And that's why when we looked at this series as a preview, one of your biggest points was that's what Philly does. And free throws are just, that indicator of pressure. Sometimes, I think in Toronto, we've looked at it as a bit of a negative because it was through the lens of DeRozan, where you went, okay, well, the free throw rate is not sustainable the same way. And if your game is built so heavily around it, what happens when it goes away? The difference here with some of these other guys is like, they don't need it as much as a part of their game as DeRozan has.
Yeah, and right? It's a different style of drawing fouls, right? Like, Joel Embiid is always going to draw his free throws because he's always going to be physically the biggest and most dominant guy on the court. DeMar DeRozan, when it's more like tricky, pump fake kind of stuff, like even James Harden is a guy who has on occasion seen his free throws dry up because the jabby kind of stuff is the kind of stuff that maybe doesn't get called as much. If you can get to the rim and you can force a defense to collapse like that, those free throws are usually still there.
So this is going to be one of the questions for Raptors. How do you build around Scottie Barnes? Because Scottie Barnes is your number one player now moving forward. Like, that is what the organization is about. And if there was no Scottie Barnes, I'd be saying, well, you've reached the limit on Fred and Siakam as a tandem, because frankly, I actually don't think they're good for one another. Like, the pick and roll that you discussed in the regular season is fine, because you can get away with that with your effort and your conditioning and playing some bad teams and beating up on them.
Yeah, you spam it against the Kings.
Yeah, but against the 76ers, and again, it's not just the 76ers. So people out there that are crying about the Raptors getting a bad matchup, it's like Giannis Antetokounmpo is in this division. He ain't going anywhere.
The Celtics would be doing this to them, too.
The Celtics are the best defensive team in the NBA right now. Like, If you're looking at teams that they need to chart,
they're bottling up Kevin Durant. You don't think they're gonna handle that?
But you know what, Kevin Durant? How many times did he go to the free throw line last night? Like that's how counters it, and that's how he ends up there. And so for Siakam, it's like, boy, it's just a really, really tough look for the guy. It was an awful. It was an awful game for him. It wasn't a good series. The numbers in the first two games were again okay. But they weren't forceful, and they were a pretty good indicator that he was afraid of the Embiid matchup. And I think that you really saw that fear when he couldn't dribble the basketball, when he's looking down in the paint and seeing Embiid there and settling for bad shots. Like, he looked noticeably shook last night. You could see it in the body language. You could see it in the way that he carried himself. It wasn't just a fatigue thing. He's the best conditioned guy in the NBA. Like, Pascal Siakam has yet to show real fatigue in his career. The guy plays a ton of minutes. He's arguably the best conditioned athlete in the NBA. If Joel Embiid can handle these kind of minutes and this kind of play, I think Pascal Siakam will be doing just fine. But do those two guys fit around Scottie Barnes? I think yes. But will you get the buy-in from Siakam is going to be a real question moving forward. A guy that entered this season saying, I want to be the man, is he willing to compromise that to a degree for a rookie moving forward? Are you going to be, what was Siakam's usage rate this year? Do you have it in front of you?
It would be about 26-27%.
Yeah. Are you willing, like, where are you getting that extra 5% that Scottie Barnes needs to grow next year, right? Where's that coming from? Well, I think it's pretty clear that you want to see more from OG if he can stay healthy. You want to see more of Precious Achiuwa if he can stay healthy. We agree that they're going to need to add. And by add, I mean get somebody who can handle the rock and get to the rim. Somebody who can have some explosiveness. So where are you removing some of that usage rate? Are you taking it from Pascal? I think you are.
And a little bit from him, a little bit from Fred. Like, Fred was up around 24% this year.
That's,
and I would love to see that down around 20-21%. Like, 100%. That was always when Kyle Lowry looked his best, too, was, hey, you're taking an average rate of shots, but, you know, those shots are very intelligently selected, and they come because other good things are happening. I mean, look, Fred had a really good season, but putting that much scoring pressure on him, I mean, we saw it. It wears him down. It can take away from the defensive game. And honestly, the times the Raptors' offense looked the best this year was when Siakam or Barnes were handling it, and Fred was more of a shooting guard anyway.
So I mentioned it earlier, but DeRozan got traded in his offseason of 28-29. Mm-hmm. The Raptors looked at it and said, okay, well, this is a unique circumstance. We can get Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
So we're doing this. We're going all in.
Also, five times in the playoffs.
Yep. Five times in the playoffs. Siakam only twice, where he's been the guy and crumbled. I just think that you running that a third time, there's some risk to it. There's some risk to it. What I'm going to think here, though, is it's very, very hard to make a Pascal Siakam trade that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what
it's hard to win that trade.
It's next near impossible to win that trade. Like, I don't know what you would have to get back where I would be saying this makes sense for this team right now. Because again, I still think there is a blueprint where he and Scottie can work unbelievably well together as these 2 6-foot-9 guys that can both handle the ball. And I say Siakam can get to the rim, but again, I didn't see it for the last three games, so it's hard for me to say that it's actually there. There's a template for it. There's a template for those two guys that I believe in. So the decision they're going to have to make as an organization, I believe, is sitting down with Siakam, figuring out what it's going to look like and how he feels in the offseason, whether he feels that joy. There's a chance that, like, he feels like he needs a fresh start. This is a league where players ask out of places all the time, and Siakam might feel hard done by here. We're a year removed away from Grange pieces where he's blowing up with Nick Nurse and he's having a tough go here and he doesn't feel the organizational support. Like, how the organization supports him in the offseason, I think, is going to be a big indicator. Like, these guys take very big slights from little things. You could have one coach, one general manager, one front office person say one thing to the press that's wrong about Siakam, maybe puts too much blame on Siakam, and you don't know how that's going to play out.
Hopefully, like, not us.
I'm just saying that there's going to be questions about what his future is in the city.
And it's going to be interesting to watch because, you know, once this series ends or whatever happens is over, Masai Ujiri will do his end of season media availability. And he tends to be pretty open and he tends to be a tough love kind of guy with his top guys. And he was tough love with Kyle and DeMar.
Yep.
He's been pretty honest about things and what needs to change when things need to change. And Masai and Pascal have a very good relationship. Like, a large part of Pascal's development and what he's been allowed to, the space he's been given to develop has been, you know, this is something, I think it was like 2019. I sat down with Pascal and he told me this. He's like, Masai's thing with me is always, why not? Mm-hmm. Why can't this 6'10" energy guy be more than energy guy? Why can't he bring the ball up the floor? Why can't he run some pick and roll? And at each step, it's been, why not? Why not? And I don't know. Does Masai feel that they've hit the point where there's actually an answer to the why not? Like they've reached the level of why not where there is a good answer and it's like, hey, this is where it caps off. This is what it is. And how does that relationship withstand that? I think it's probably a strong enough relationship to handle it just fine.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Sometimes a tough love situation, which is what this is going to be, you know, it's called tough for a reason.
We did say that he matured a lot this season. We hoped that would carry on through the playoffs. And it seemed like he played with more joy. And a small sample size has been 3 playoff games. So it's hard to erase that. But I did see a lot of growth with Pascal this entire season.
That's what makes it so hard.
Yeah, that's what makes this 3-game sample even worse is because like this is when it really mattered. And if you can't find a way to elevate now, then I don't think these conversations about what to do with Pascal in the offseason are not justified. Like the text line, like we've had like 4 or 5 people ask that question, you know, last night on Twitter, it's trending Siakam, like move off of him. And I know it's a reactionary thing, but there is some justification to that when you see 2 back-to-back seasons with that type of defeated playoff performance.
But it's also the timeline question that we had coming in here. And the Raptors know it too.
And this was supposed to be a development year, and a lot of people did develop.
But it was, let's not mince words here. It was very much on the table that Siakam could be traded last offseason. In fact, it's pretty much widely accepted that Raptors were taking calls on him. Like, Raptors were willing to discuss a Pascal Siakam trade last offseason. His year changed things a lot because he looked so damn good. I think he's 3rd all NBA for the year that he just had. For the Raptors, they have to address that timeline, though, of going, okay, we have how many years left of Siakam? And what is the value of trying to build something different around Barnes, where Barnes is unequivocally the guy that we run this team through? You can have scenarios where it works out where it's like Kyrie and KD play together, right? Like Harden just joined Embiid. You star players play together all the time. I'm not saying that this is impossible for Siakam.
It's almost required players figure out how to play together.
It is, but these guys are not peers. Like KD and Kyrie join one another. They're similar in age.
And similar in where
experience.
You are in your career.
Where you are
exactly.
And
so where the trouble, I think, or not trouble, it's just a challenge. It's if you're going to make a big foundation shaky move like that is, I don't think that the move is, and I don't think this organization would stomach Siakam in a trade that's viewed as like a teardown, like for picks and prospects who are far away. It's more of the norm for Gary Trent trade of someone who we think can be a similar type, but is a little bit more on the timeline.
Yep.
And maybe a little, you know, one contract earlier or something like that for flexibility purposes.
The idea that I had last offseason, which was getting the
Wiggins, Wiseman, and the 7 that became Kuminga.
Getting those pieces, that kind of a trade is off the table. You're not doing a deal like that for Siakam now. Not in my opinion. Like, you're not going out and getting lottery tickets to build around Barnes.
You got to be moving forward, like, right now, I think.
Well, that's just the thing is, you're still a good basketball team. And if you keep Nick Nurse, you're still going to have one of the best coaches in the NBA, even though he hasn't shown that this series. It's been a tough series for Nick Nurse. He's taken a hit. That was bound to happen at some point in his career, given that it has been all exceeding expectations for him. This is the first time I think he has not met the expectations of Nick Nurse. But yeah, what do you do? What do you do with these timelines, and what do you do with this locker room, and how does this happen? Because this is a tough loss. We thought that there were no expectations, and all of a sudden there were expectations. And I've said it once, I'll say it again, this is the only way that you couldn't lose was with a Pascal Siakam full-blown crumble like he just had in that Game 3, where you see him put no pressure on the Sixers, where you see him take bad shot after bad shot down the stretch. Like, did either of you guys have any confidence he was going to hit a shot when he was taking those jumpers?
And that's Siakam's
range. But that's his range. When he was taking them, like, there were moments where Niang's on him, and I'm going, where's the blow-by here? Where's the getting to the basket? You're not even going to go at Niang? You're going to settle against Niang? Like,
I don't know
how you could be a sports fan and watch that and think that that was just a defensive coverage issue. That was a breakdown. Mm-hmm. That was a collapse. That was a choke.
And even if it wasn't, like, okay, Joel Embiid's back there. Well, guess what? He's going to be there all series. Yeah. You don't get to choose who you play against. And yeah, Embiid can claim I'm the best defensive player in the world. And the Raptors can claim, yeah, we have to beat the best defensive player in the world. Yeah. You don't get to be like, well, we'd like to play a different center, please. Yeah. Can you please play DeAndre Jordan instead? Yeah, it doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
It's always been a rough comparison, and it was always kind of the pitfall of Siakam is you have to follow, right? Like with a great comedian, the fear is always if you follow someone great, right? Someone who goes and kills in a room, and now you have to go in there, and the room is red hot, and they've just watched
Bill
Burr.
That's how Blair and Barker feel after us.
Right. So you got to follow the guy that just killed. And Siakam, unfortunately, has to deal with being the guy that followed the killers in Kawhi and Kyle. Like, two different guys. Like, you're following a really, really, really tough act. But unfortunately, that has become the standard of the organization is winning championships. And now people know what that looks like. And I don't see how anyone could look at Siakam and say that there's any more stretch of him being the man in this city like that. I'm sorry, that part of the chapter is now over for me. Let's take a break. Let's talk to the man, Dave Vanderchuk, Stanley Cup champion, 2-time 50 goal scorer. And he's currently the Lightning studio analyst. Lightning, 4-4-2 in their last 10. Getting killed on the rush. Vasilevsky save percentage in the toilet compared to what it's been with his career since the All-Star break. Does this game mean anything to them? What has this stretch been for them? What are we reading into it for them? That's next on the Fan Morning Show. JD Blake and Ailish, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, JD Bunkus, Blake Murphy, Ailish Forfar. Raptor season's done. Leaf season just getting started. Just getting started. Lightning, Leafs tonight, the measuring stick game, at least for one organization. Let's ask Dave Vanderchuk if it's the same way for the Lightning. Former NHL forward, 2004 Stanley Cup champion, 2-time scoring 50 goals, and current Lightning studio analyst. Good morning, Dave.
Morning. How are you doing?
Bad about the Raps, but feeling weirdly confident about the Leafs. So, like, kind of a mixed bag. I don't know. How about you? You Raps fan?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been watching a little bit. You know, after that run, obviously, we all kind of jumped on the wagon. So, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it's amazing that, you know, the two seasons kind of, you know, are kind of run against each other, right? Like, you know, it's been going on for quite a while. So, but as you said, we're just getting ramped up here. Should be fun.
Absolutely, we should be. And, you know, big move by you really shows the confidence of you. This is like a big man energy where you are willing to admit as a former pro hockey player that you watched a basketball game. Like, you know, you don't hear that too often. It's like you put it on record. You know people can hear this, right? Like your friends in Hamilton can hear that you admitted that you watched the Raptors game. So, yeah, Dave Vanderchuk, 50-goal scorer. So that's the thing. We're ramping up, right, Dave? But the Lightning have looked pretty human lately. This is a team that everybody had down as the Cup favorites again this year. The three-peat was talked about on the table, but Since the All-Star break, Vasilevsky hasn't looked like the same guy. They're 4-4-2 in their last 10. Is this a group that you see is actually scuffling, or is this a group that you see just kind of trying to wait and conserve for the playoff run here?
Well, I think talking to them, you know, in the confidence that they have, they believe that they can turn it on. And we all know that maybe that's not the case. I will say this, that I am surprised. I started looking at some numbers in the last few years, and they really did not have any great stretch drives. You know, I think they were like 4-7 last year going into the playoffs, and then obviously won the Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. The year that they did have a really good stretch drive, they got beat by Columbus in four games. So, you know, I am a true believer that the team playing the best has the best chance of winning. But this team is kind of, you know, doesn't follow that recipe. So, but at the same time, you're right. They are stumbling.
Yeah.
They're making too many mistakes. They're putting too much pressure on Vasilevsky, too many outnumbered chances. you know, I will say this, that remembering last year, they did buckle down defensively, as we know that, you know, both of these teams tonight can score goals, right? Like, that's not the problem. It's keeping it out of your net. That's the big thing, and that's key in the playoffs. So, you know, there's not many games left for them to kind of turn the switch here, but this is probably a good one tonight to start your, you know, your playoff run.
Well, that's one of the things I want to ask you about, specifically the odd man rushes, because this shocked me. Because they're, again, cup contenders, and that the season has still gone relatively well, like just about anybody takes this year from a point standpoint. But they're the worst rush defense in the NHL, worst rush team in the NHL since the All-Star break. Like, they're minus 24 in that category since then. It's kind of startling to look at it. The Leafs are the best team in that category. How do you get that right? Like, what are you seeing there? Because a lot of people are saying this team looks a bit slow, and if you're facing a Toronto Maple Leafs that's got a ton of speed, that's a problem.
Well, yeah, I think it's the turnover. I think it's just taking too many chances, to be honest with you. And then, you know, you rely on your goaltender to, you know, four or five times a game to stop two-on-ones, you know, and Vasilevskiy has done that in the past. Well, that's not really happening right now. Just too many, you know, too many good chances they're giving up. And I think you're right. I mean, in Toronto's case, you know, they got a ton of speed. But the way these two teams play, you know, you can transition against either team. You know, if you get them to turn the puck over, you know, you might get an outnumbered situation because they are so aggressive. So, you know, maybe that's, you know, something we're going to watch for tonight. But at the same time, you know, this is a game that, you know, we'll see if it means anything in the standings, but it definitely is going to let your team know where your game is at.
So the Leafs and Tampa have, I think, the most potential to be matched up here in the first round. Do you think anybody fears the Toronto Maple Leafs? And if you're the Tampa Bay Lightning, how do you feel like you match up against this team, which has had one of their best seasons of all time with Austin Matthews leading the way? Is that something that Tampa fears at all, or just another opponent in their way for a three-peat?
Well, I will say this, that I think this is probably the best Toronto team that we've seen in the past few years. They're playing the best. I think they've shored up their goaltending, and that's the key for them. Their defense, you know, is better than it has been in the past. I will say this, is that if I'm a player and I'm sitting in the other side, yes, I am definitely fearing a team that's got more points than us, that has tons of talent. But I guess as fans, we're looking at it, oh, is this the Toronto Maple Leafs that are not going to have playoff success, right? Like, which they haven't had in the last few years. So I look at it as that they're a really good team, and they have the capability of beating anybody in a seven-game series. And no matter if you're, you know, no matter if you're two-time, you know, champions, they're still a really good team. So and I am looking forward to that. You know, and the way it is, right? You know, if it sits right now, I mean, they have home ice advantage. The pressure would be on them in their first two games. You know, can Tampa get a split and, you know, turn the tides, which is very possible.
There's no such thing as home ice advantage because the Maple Leafs fans will just fill Tampa's arena as well.
Yeah, that's true. You know, that's true. That's that, like, honestly, the series between the two teams, there's a lot of question marks. That's not one of them.
Are you saying that they travel well? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
How many of the Tampa fans are even just like transplants that thought they were buying a Leafs jersey because it's kind of close in colors? They're like, oh, this is an interesting Leafs third uniform. Oh, what's this now? It's a Tampa jersey. So this is, man, you led into it perfectly, which is this Leafs team does look so good, Dave. And it's so tough if you're in this market right now because they've blown it in the postseason. Like last year, losing to Montreal, who now this season comes in the year, like they fire their coach a couple, you know, month into the season. They're tire fire coming out of the gate. And granted, they didn't have Price or Weber in the regular season, but who cares? Like, to go from that disappointment to this regular season, people are having a little bit of tough time buying in. And I get it because there is a lot of pressure on this group, right? And that doesn't feel the same way in the regular season. But you've played here and you won in a different place. And I wonder how you feel that manifests itself, how that weighs on players as you get closer and closer to this. Like the ghosts of Toronto, the past of Toronto, the desire to win in Toronto, how that starts to feel when you actually drop the puck in a playoff game in this city.
Well, there is pressure in that city, right? And we all want that. You know, we all understand that. You know, this is a good team, and they want to win. But at the same time, I think as players, you know, you're knocking at the door. You know, your time is coming. You play the right way, and your time is coming. And that's the way I look at it. Is, you know, you look at Tampa. You know, yes, they won the last two cups, but you know, they went to the conference finals twice. They lost in the finals once in 15. You know, they put their dues in to get where they are. And I think teams have to understand that. You got to lose some games. And, you know, maybe it is the Leafs that lose in the conference finals this year. Then they take the next step, right? Or, you know, it's and that's what happens. And as a player, you think about, you know, okay, this is my time. You know, we've been in the playoffs these last few years. We got a good team. This is our time. That's the way you go into it, right? Now it doesn't, obviously, for, you know, 31 other teams, it doesn't work that way. There's only one team at the end. But you put in your dues, and, you know, and I think as a player, that's what you're looking at is, you know, you can't look at, you know, that they haven't won since 67 and all the other stuff that's happening in Toronto. It's more about, hey, we have whoever we're facing. You know, it's trying to keep that in perspective. You got to win this one series and this one game and then go from there.
So you've been a 50 goal scorer. You know the conversation around it and maybe the pressure that comes with that. Steven Stamkos said something about how 60 is that round number, and if Austin Matthews doesn't get to 60, it might haunt him. Do you think that Matthews is feeling a little bit of that pressure to get to 60 now that he's already achieved a couple accomplishments this season and it's just looming right there in the future?
Well, I don't think so. You know, to be honest with you, with all the hype getting, you know, the record, and it's, you know, there's only so many guys that have gotten to 50 in Toronto. I think more importantly for him, you know, it's playoff success. I think he would give all that up, you know, give the 60 so I get 58, who cares, you know, but, you know, we win a few rounds in the playoffs and I would give that up. And I think that that's the attitude that he's got to take. And, you know, in Stammer's case, yeah, they were not really good teams, right, when he got to 60. But let me tell you, I think he would give up the 60 goals to hoist the cup again. So that, and you know, in Austin's case, and I don't, is he back tonight? I know he was.
You got to figure he is. You got to figure he is. He's close. It was a minor thing that they were dealing with, and he traveled, so yeah. It's a pretty good indicator. I'm guessing that he wants to play Tampa. Like that's just a guess, but there's no confirmation, though.
Yeah, and that's good. I mean, good for him, good for them that they have the luxury that they can, you know, let him rest for a few games. And we'll see what happens down these last few if something kind of gets solidified and teams can take a little bit of a breather, right? Like, but you're right. This is a guy that, you know, I think he wants some playoff success. And whether it's 60 goals or not, I don't think he cares.
So, Dave, I know that you were a part of some Buffalo Sabres teams in the late 80s, early 90s that were in kind of a similar spot to the Leafs in that they had some really strong regular seasons, but you guys, you know, it was first round. What do you think someone like Austin Matthews putting the records or the numbers aside like that does to kind of affirm to the rest of the guys that, hey, this is about the playoffs. This is about the playoffs. Because I'd imagine when you're in a situation where, you know, it hasn't been 7 or 8 years for the Leafs like it was in Buffalo, but it's been a handful of them. I wonder if you know, how doubt maybe creeps in about will this work in the playoffs or how do we be different and what Matthews as a tone setter does in that regard.
Well, I don't think it's just him. I think, you know, it's Tavares, it's their coaching staff, and they got to install the confidence that we can beat any team in this league. And there's games that you can rely, go back on. You know, the game they came in here and beat Tampa 5-2. You know, I mean, that's a game that I think if they end up playing Tampa, you'll go back and watch that. You'll go back and watch clips and say, this is what we did right. And we can beat a team. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, let me tell you, it was brutal in Buffalo. It was absolutely brutal. You know, and we changed our roster every year. Unfortunately, well, fortunately and unfortunately, I was a guy that never really got moved and was there the whole time, right? But, you know, it was tough. It was tough. I mean, you know, you finish in the top five in the league, probably 4 or 5 of those seasons, and then you get beat in the first round. And that's how hard it is to win in this league. So in Toronto's case, I think that everything is focused in on we're a really good team. We've beaten all the best teams in this league. We have the talent. This is our year. And we'll see if that happens for them. And, you know, it's confidence, right? It's knowing that you can come back in games. And I'm sure that you guys have watched this team, you know, all year long. You understand that, you know, nothing is going to get they're not going to get rattled if they don't have the puck in amount of time in the offensive zone and the other team's taking the play to them, but they still win the game. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Tampa has done in the last little while here. And I've watched this where you're down one goal, you know, you get a goal early or the other team scores a power play goal. That nothing phases them at all. And it starts with John Cooper, of course, that nothing phases them. They're just like, they have the confidence that we can beat this team if we just turn it on. It kind of reminds me of the Oilers in the 80s there, right? Like that's, they're playing like crap. And then it's just, you know, Messier stands up in the room and says, okay, let's turn it on here, boys. And they do. And I think that's what Tampa has. And that's the confidence you got to have going into the playoffs. So, you know, it's there's so many good teams. You look at our division. I mean, man, mm-hmm. Florida's played really well. You know, Boston's is not going to be an easy out. And it's unfortunate that, you know, out of those four teams, only one is surviving, you know, basically after, you know, the second round.
Yeah. I felt worse about it in years past. This year, at least, it just feels like the East is loaded. Like, I don't know. I guess you'd take Washington and say that they're the bit of the step down in competition, the ones that you'd fear probably the least in the rest of the group. But yeah, the rest of it's pretty scary. And yeah, that Leafs Lightning series, if we end up getting it, is like there's a chance that that's a first round Stanley Cup, you know, like either one of those teams gets out of that round and you don't know what ends up happening. And by the way, I think Stamkos said that stuff because he doesn't want Matthews to hit 60 and he wants to be sitting on that alone. And he tried to curse him. I really think he's playing head games. Tell me I'm wrong. That guy is just, he put it out there. He's like, oh, it'll haunt him forever. I'd think about that quote. If I was Matthews, I heard that from a guy who did it. Like, come on, that would be in my head. Maybe that's why I'm not successful. But yeah, either way, Dave Vaynerchuk, 50 goal scorer, Stanley Cup champion, and Lightning analyst. Thanks for making time today, pal.
Yep, you got it. Enjoy the game tonight.
Take care. Dave Vaynerchuk. Yeah,
I think you're onto something with that Stamkos.
Oh, I don't think I'm onto something.
60 would be tough. No pressure, Austin.
Listen, as a reverse curse believer, a curse installer, a jinx believer, a
person.
I try and play all the angles of the mush, jinx, reverse. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm all over it. Saying you got this, that's a great one. But saying that it'll haunt you, that's, you're going to think about it. Hey, it'll haunt you forever. I was in your shoes. I was where you are. I did it, but thank God. Because had I not, I wouldn't sleep. I wouldn't be able to sleep. You should think about this, buddy. You should think about this a lot. In fact, don't think about the playoffs. Don't think about your team. Focus in on getting those 60 goals. Take all those shots. Tire yourself out. Do whatever it takes. Because if you don't get that 60, buddy, your life is meaningless. You will be haunted. You'll be doing tours at the end of your career. You'll show up in place and they'll go, 59 goal scorer, Austin Matthews. You know,
tough one, buddy.
Don't you? Do you see? We announced Dave Vaynerchuk as 2-time 50 goal scorer.
You didn't say 1-time 49 goal scorer.
Correctamundo. Correctamundo. So, yeah, just remind him of it. It's good gamesmanship by Stamkos, right? Just like it was good gamesmanship for him to screw up the Leafs offseason that one year when he showed up here. Oh, maybe I'll come here. And him and Canadian Tire Guy sat down.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about
Canadian
that.
Canadian Tire Guy was like, we'll give you sponsorship. Canadian Tire, like, buddy. All really the Canadian Tire buddy you Canadian want. You want a canoe, buddy? You want,
canoe.
You want a super cycle bike?
He's we'll like, get you a Yeti cooler.
He's like, I'm out of here. I'm going back to Tampa Bay on the super cheap. Shove it. Now you guys have wasted all these resources. You told me the whole plan. Thanks. I'm taking it down to Tampa. We're running with it. Stamkos is kind of a traitor, you know? Like, yeah. He plays baseball here in the summer, and out of the rest of his time, he's just focused on trying to destroy the Toronto Maple Leafs. Kind of hurts. Kind of hurts that he's such a traitor. Mm.
Yeah, it does. It doesn't hurt quite as much as that Raptors game last night, though. And I only mention that because if you haven't had enough chat about that, 10 to 12 today, the Raptors show with William Liu.
Wow, they got to get up early.
I thought you were about to tell us something else happened where you're like,
no.
Scotty has no.
Don't the only thing that happened was an apology from Tim Bontemps.
Timmy, what did he say?
When did you sleep?
Yeah.
Aww. Wow. Must be nice.
Must yeah. be nice.
You guys
Tim.
Remember sleeping?
Well, no. We'll see like if William Liu and Alex Wong can handle this. Because Will doesn't like doing the 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. slot with us. And they've got 2 hours, 10 to 12. So if you didn't get enough Raptors talk or you're tuning in late here, obviously subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts, the Fan Morning Show. But also the Raptors Show with William Liu, 10 to 12 today. And then because the Jays play at 1:30, you've got a quick Gord Stellick in for Jeff Merrick, 12 to 1. And then Blair and Barker on the Jays pregame at 1. So the nice thing is, if you're a Toronto sports fan and not exclusively a Raptors fan, you can roll this over pretty quickly. Air it out with Will and Alex, and then it's Blue Jays time, and then you got the Leafs tonight, and you've got some very interesting NBA games out west.
Fine. The Raptors lost, and then maybe you could end up seeing the Leafs lose to the Lightning, and you could possibly see the Jays lose a series to Boston. It's going to be a great
JD,
day.
It's baby Friday.
What did I just tell you about Jinx Energy?
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
don't step on
Boy,
my...
Yeah, 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 that was good. Yeah, you got me. Like, I didn't even realize you're doing
That's
so
why
well.
I'm the best at it, okay?
Sometimes
I
don't know
best.
If you're just jinxing or you're just negative Nancy.
Low, it's, what is it? Hope for the best, but expect the worst. That's the way to live.
Correct.
That's the way to live. That's the credo, all right? That's the credo. So expect the worst, hope for the best, but hope for it in silence, you know? Shh. Keep it to yourself. Keep those little believies to yourself, you know? Keep those little believies in your chest all to yourself. They're your little treat. Awful, awful, awful. What a Raptors show it's going to be. I actually can't wait to listen to those two guys. I'm so jealous of Tim Bontemps sleeping, though. That's my main focus now. So I'm like, Tim, can you come on for three minutes?
He's going to go on the Will Lou show now.
I was going to say, can you come on for a couple minutes and tell us what it's like to sleep? I sleep like I'm in a war now, where I like wake up every once in a while. Are they here?
You check your phone. You're like, it's four. Yeah. Okay, I have 25 more minutes. Should I go to sleep?
Is it my turn for the watch? Like, no. You got to sleep down in your bunker, wherever you are. Like, that's how I am every night. They're coming. So that's me. Man, what a sleep. So congrats to Tim Bontemps. Shout out to Timmy B. Getting to sleep. Okay, so 2 minutes left. Very, very quickly. Blue Jays today, this afternoon. Gausman goes a little deeper. Do we have any update on Springer? No. So the belief is that there's no Springer. So we get Tapia, the home run machine,
That's
to probably
right.
lead off tonight. Hopefully the Jays pull this one out. But this is a little bit of a lower confidence one with no George Springer. All of a sudden that lineup, that depth is going to get tested a little bit tonight.
Tell you what, if that lineup with potentially no Springer, no Teoscar, no Danny Jansen, if they get the Tanner Houck, we're relaxing the border restrictions when Boston comes here. If you can tattoo that guy around a little bit,
let him in.
Welcome. If he has a good outing, hold up.
Let him in.
Yeah, let's put public safety first.
I heard the Yankees got quickly vaxxed just so they could come up here.
Almost
right?
like there's been a solution to this issue the whole time.
Well, just go get a vaccination. Well, that's smart.
This huge competitive advantage. Yeah, right.
So they should be fully vaxxed coming up whenever they play, right?
Yeah.
The Yankees, yeah, they did it.
They did it. They're scared. I think it's because they're scared.
No, I still think it's
the Jays.
I still laugh at the Thibault thing, though. Stephen A. Smith nailed it, where I'm like, I don't really care what you do with your body, but if you're going to get one and not two, that's just kind of funny to me. We're back tomorrow, hopefully, announcing the return of Scotty Barnes and the Raptors about to create history on a comeback and down 0-3 in a series.
Producer Danielle Oxcord.
Ooh.
Get ready.
My favorite Oxcord. My favorite Oxcord. It's the Fan Morning Show. We're back tomorrow. Subscribe to this podcast. Follow on Instagram. Follow on Twitter. Do those things. Do the right thing.
Baby
Leave
Friday.
A review. And enjoy the rest of your Baby Friday, everybody.